The Last were central to the emergence of the Los Angeles punk and power pop scene in the late 70s. But the band's sound and style stands apart from most of the punk and power pop bands that they were playing gigs with at the time. The Last were very 60s inspired and a definite precursor to and highly influential upon what would become known as the Paisley Underground in the 80s. The core of The Last has always been brothers Joe and Mike Nolte, along with a third brother, Dave Nolte. Joe Nolte was in a high school prog band called Twice with a Y, then a short-lived power trio called The Power. Dave Nolte described Twice's sound as Frank Zappa covering Jethro Tull. Mike Nolte at the same time was very into David Bowie and Elton John and spent a lot of time practicing the piano. After the drummer for The Power, Vic, stopped answering his apartment door, Joe Nolte realized that The Power was a done deal. Bassist from The Power, Dave Harbison, had started jamming with other bands, and he found a new drummer, Mike Clark. By October of 1976, the first original lineup of The Last had taken shape, with Joel Nolte on guitar and lead vocals, Mike Nolte on backup vocals, Dave Harbison on bass, Danny Winter on guitar, Sean Doherty on keyboards, and Mike Clark on drums. Old friend and former member of Twice, Vitus Matari, was there, as Joe puts it, to record the mess. Keyboardist Sean Doherty left after the very first rehearsal session. The name of the band, The Last, came from a long list of possible names and was thought up by Mike Nolte. There was one other band in the Hermosa Beach community in which the brothers were raised that they could relate to at the time, a band called Panic, which eventually became Black Flag. The original lineup of The Last played live only once, at the 16th birthday party for Debbie Keaton, Buster Keaton's granddaughter, in November of 1976. That same month, the band recorded a demo tape, which Joe Nolte gave to the staff of a fairly new Los Angeles magazine called Backdoor Man, a magazine that Joe admired very much because they had articles on his favorite band, the Ramones. Unfortunately, Joe gave them the only copy of that demo to exist, and it was lost. The staff at Backdoor Man did like the tape very much, though. Meanwhile, Dave Nolte was forming a band of his own to be called The Descendants with his school friend, Frank Navetta. The Last continued practicing, but eventually rhythm section Dave Harbison and Mike Clark quit the band, as Joe puts it, due to my insistence on actually getting somewhere at practices. The band basically broke up at this point. Dave Harbison found himself in a local Grateful Dead cover band, which featured a drummer named Jack Reynolds. Dave thought Jack would be perfect for The Last, who needed a drummer to replace Mike Clark. So Dave Harbison rejoined the band in June, bringing Jack along with him. Jack Reynolds was a large English guy who loved the Kinks and was a big contrast in style to Mike Clark. The set they worked up that summer was the true beginning of the band. Joe was writing new stuff all the time. So this is August of 1978. Vitus Matari, Joe's old band member from Twice, is in the band, and they record their first single, She Don't Know Why I'm Here. They record it in September, it comes out in November, on the band's own label, Backlash Records. And we heard that version at the beginning of the episode. The release of the single led to a recording contract with local LA label Bomp Records, but Dave Harbison quit the band again, citing pressure from his girlfriend, and brother David Nolte learned how to play bass guitar so he could join the band. Within 2 weeks, the band with Dave Nolte on bass were playing at the Whiskey with 2020. And this is the lineup that would go on to make the band's first album. So the lineup is brothers Joe, Mike, and Dave Nolte, Vitus Matari, and Jack Reynolds on drums. The band also signed with a manager at this time, Randall Wixon. So the first half of 1979 was spent recording the band's legendary first album, LA Explosion. Trouser Press called it a near-perfect debut.
Just another girl and I wanna play. I have my butt. I go.
After completing the record, the band started gigging again and became a mainstay on the Los Angeles scene. Joe Nolte was living in an abandoned church in Hermosa Beach, along with members of Black Flag, Red Cross, and the Descendants. Known simply as The Church, the building was owned by a group of hippies who rented out many of the rooms to local punks after earlier attempts at making the building an arts and crafts center failed. This is a quote from Joe Nolte. Between June and October of 1978, we went from the quintessential opening band to becoming one of the highest drawing bands in the city. Pop and punk were merging. K-Rock would play one of our surf pop type songs. New Wave kids would go to the show, discover slamming, and next week they would have done alarming things to their hair and be listening to far more dangerous groups. We were, in short, a halfway house between safe New Wave and the more dangerous, creepy-crawly world of the LA punk underground that was about to explode. In November of 1978, Jack Reynolds quit the band and was replaced by John Frank. During the first half of 1979, the band recorded their second album, Look Again. According to Joe Nolte, Bomp didn't want to finance another LP due to their poor financial status at the time. Look Again was self-financed, thanks mainly to manager Randall Wixon, and produced by Joe Julian of Berlin. During the recording, the band emerged only to play a couple of nights with X at the Starwood. The band felt confident they could get a major record deal with Look Again. Even though the record is great, they did not get a deal, and it went unreleased beyond some test pressings for a possible self-release.
The day I first saw you, the day I realized I was in love with you, I would not have believed that it would be the last I'd ever seen of you. Thank you. they shiver with the sound. Oh, if it do, it'll call for you. Stumbling down.
Go!
was nothing that they could do. Nothing is changing, I still love you.
Bomp Records did release three songs from the Look Against sessions as an EP with a new song called Fade to Black in 1982.
Sometime, anytime, anyway, way inside, I sit and I wait. Sometimes, and then the world goes by.
The LA scene was becoming more and more divided, the last that always seemed to straddle the fence between punk and pop. Joe Nolte thought seriously about joining Black Flag as their singer in the late spring. The Descendants tried to get the band to tour with them, but since they were shopping Look Again around, the band decided to stay put, do local shows, and hope for the best. This is a quote from Joe Nolte. I woke up one morning to find that some girl named Susanna Hoffs had left a bottle of my favorite whiskey along with a fan letter outside my door. In the fall of 1980, morale was low. It seemed as if no record company was interested in Look Again, and the band was playing less and less gigs. Joe fired his brother Mike from the band in October. This is a quote from Joe Nolte. As I have told him since, firing him was not a mistake. The only mistake I made was not following him and leaving the band myself. So Mike left after a final show at the Starwood, and we did one show without him, which made me realize we desperately needed a fifth member to sing, and we decided to go on hiatus and find the magical fifth member. So instead of spending the first half of the year recording, we spent it auditioning people. I decided to find someone who could sing and also play guitar. Mike, during his initial tenure, had only sang. He was a keyboardist, but Vitus was already in the band. Susanna Hoffs wanted to audition, but I wanted a guy, so she went off to form the Bangs. Dave Roback auditioned, and he was a friend of ours and was of course good, but his voice was too low. I wanted a vocal copy of Brother Mike. So Dave went and started Rain Parade and later Mazzy Star. Steve Wynn had the same problem, too low a voice, not Mike-ish enough, so he started Dream Syndicate. 81, 82, 83, 84, the band went through a series of singers and sporadic gigging and recording, eventually resulting in a collection of songs called Painting Smiles on a Dead Man, which was released by Lolita Records only in France in 1985. But that same year, the band finally, officially broke up. That is until 1987, when the Nolte brothers reformed the band with Luke Lonis on guitar, Larry Monkey on bass, and drummer Dave Nasworthy, also of Chemical People. The band started playing out in the fall of 1987, and by the end of the year, they had a deal with SST Records. They recorded an album called Confession in February of 1988, with Bill Stevenson from The Descendants producing.
To everyone, there comes a time when roads converge and intertwine, and everyone who knows their mind eventually must cross that line. I still remember when they told me who you were. I turned away and cried, my God, it can't be her. I don't believe it's true that I would fall in love with you. Going, 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 gone. One more step to the road you're on. I can't tell you where I'm from. Going, going, gone. I see myself so you know.
In the fall of 88, the band started recording a second album for SST to be called Awakening. The band was dissatisfied with the resulting recordings, and this is a quote from Joe. "We essentially redid Awakening that spring and actually toured the country for our first and only time that summer. Hell of a tour. Great and terrible." Awakening sold poorly. This is a quote from Joe Nolte. "The material on the two SST records had been one-third new, one-third from the stuff I was writing in 84, 85 that never got recorded, and one-third stuff from the early days. I'd felt I was to some extent going through the motions, and the 1989 tour had left me unsatisfied, so it was time for a change. I spent the first part of the year writing very strange, not necessarily last songs, and by late spring brought Brother Mike together with Brother Dave and Christy Callan to form a four-part harmony-type group that we ever so unimaginatively called the Nolte Brothers with Christy Callan. We worked out some incredible harmony arrangements on both the aforementioned originals, some originals from the others, and some interestingly chosen covers. It was pretty rad, and the end result was that we played a total of two shows for small audiences and never recorded. At the end of the year, Luke, Larry, and Naz called within days of each other, just as I'd come to the conclusion that my new songs should be done by the last. So Kismet and Karma shook hands, and I called SST. So the last got back together, and we put down backing tracks at Earl Mankey's studio for the album that would eventually emerge as Gin and Innuendos, which was released in 1996.
Talk about in those books that you're fated to meet. If you only look, so you look and you look for 20 odd years through desire and tears, too many beers, and you get up one day and you say, no way, it isn't real, there's no such thing. It's what you pretend when you put on that ring, 'cause love is love, but the soulmate thing, the idea that just one person can be everything. All your hopes, a fallacy, a fantasy, it's mythology. It just ain't real and it doesn't exist. And you turn around and there she is, and you almost die. You just can't sleep, you just can't eat, you can barely breathe. So you give it a day and you say okay. She turns around and says it's not that way. I don't believe I could get like this, but I would die for a half a kiss. Wasn't a matter of choice at all, but it hit too hard, it hit too fast. I already knew that I had enough chance. I didn't mean to fall for you. I'll only be what you want me to. I'll only say what you want me to say and hide the rest, 'cause it's not that way. Else with anyone else, it isn't about the usual thing. it's not bloody likely to happen again. One good thing when you find the one, at least you know that your searching's done. There'll always be new hearts to be won, and it's easier when your own is gone. For I will never kiss your lips, caress your hair, your fingertips, or even hold your hand, or anything else. It's not in the plan, there is no plan. It doesn't exist, and I understand. No one's fault, it's not that way. It's just a dream I had one day. To those dreams I'll turn instead, and be with you till the day I'm dead.
So there you have it. That's the story of The Last, a great, pretty unsung band whose stellar catalog of songs I felt deserved a perusal on an episode of Rock and or Roll. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know. rockandorroll.blogspot.com. You can send me an email, rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com. Go click like on the Facebook page. You can leave a comment on Facebook. You can send me a message on Facebook. If you're enjoying the podcast, let me know. If you have an idea for a topic for an upcoming episode, let me know. Send me an email, drop me a line on Facebook. I always like hearing from people. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
So Joe and Mike Nolte teamed up with the rhythm section from The Descendants, Carl Alvarez and Bill Stevenson, and recorded one last album, which was called Danger. Came out in 2013. Let's hear a song from it called Unreal Love.
Sunday, Monday, stranded on my mind.
I'll be back.